I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy,
here.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Councilmember Oglesby is excused.
Councilmember Edelman,
here.
Councilmember Stout,
here.
Councilmember Wisnowski,
here.
So I would accept a motion to accept the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I move that we adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So it's time for public comments. Persons wishing to address council, please step up to the podium, state your name and city of residence, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Oh, there. Well, somebody behind you raised their hand. Okay. Whatever. Okay.
My name is Mike Fettig. I live in Black Diamond. Do I need my address?
No. Could you speak up a little bit?
Is that on?
Is it on?
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, that works.
Is it working?
Maybe just tilt it up a little.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There we go.
Thank you. My name is Mike Fettig. Do I need to state my address?
No, just
okay.
your city.
I live in Black Diamond, Morgan Creek area. Here's my comment. My name is Mike Fettig. Although we haven't attended many council meetings, my wife and I have been following the happenings of the city council and mayor since we moved here in 2009. I'm here this evening to address the two ordinances on tonight's agenda. The first draft ordinance number 19-1124. As I read through the draft on tonight's agenda, I'm startled by the power that is given to the mayor on this proposed ordinance. If I were to read between the lines correctly, it appears the mayor would have exclusive power over the city attorney, and instruct the city attorney to conduct business according to her agenda without council approval. I believe the citizens of Black Diamond elected a council to serve the public interest. The public is being cut off when their council members aren't allowed to disagree with the mayor, and the mayor can determine what issues the city attorney will work on. It is concerning that we can renew the city attorney's contract without council approval. Would the mayor and council members approve this style of leadership if our previous mayor had made this proposal? After discussing this with my father-in-law, who serves two terms as a mayor of another Western Washington community, he says too much power is being given to one person and asks what is really behind these actions. One more comment, if I could. Second ordinance, 19-1125. I recognize the council has previous discussion on adding two additional council seats. However, adding two seats is not an immediate concern. Our city continues to grow, but we aren't at the 5,000 residents requiring additional council seats. The 2010 census reports 4,151 residents. My concerns with adopting this ordinance include, despite previous council discussion, why is it now after the window is closed for the 2019 primary election that these seats are being created? These will be appointed seats. These appointments will last until 2021 election. Once again, the voice of the voters is being cut off by allowing the mayor and council to appoint council members they feel are best. Are these appointments being made to secure a council majority in favor of these beliefs? Both of these agenda items, in my opinion, seem to have an agenda. They weren't discussed at the last council meeting. And according to the Black Diamond website, no committee meeting were held since the June 20th council meeting. And there are no council recommendations on either of these agenda items. There's been less than a week's notice of the agenda items and no public notice on pretty big changes in our government. I'm asking the council to defer the adoption of ordinance 19-1124 and ordinance number 19-1125. Thank you.
I didn't prepare as well as you did.
That's okay.
My name is Mike Eaglin. I'm a new person, Black Diamond here. I'm sure I've met a few of you. I'm trying to get involved in here. I looked at your profile, and a few of you have land development and experience in utilities. And this land development over here is terrible. So I was told that it was a done deal, but rarely, maybe not so. So you're going to bring a lot of people here with those housing and apartments, and a few of you like hiking and boating around here. Well, you might as well just forget about that, because you're going to have a lot of people over there that's got brand new houses and families, and they're going to be four. There's no parking over there. It's going to be terrible. I don't know who planned this, but if you go to other lakes and stuff around here that have housing, they have neighborhoods. That's not a neighborhood. That's New York City in the middle of Black Diamond. I don't know who thought of this, but anyways. I came here also to talk about the same two things he said. You got a lawyer here that's a panel for everybody, not just for one person. Everybody interprets the law differently, and you guys are supposed to hearse it out to know what's best for us. But it doesn't seem like you guys are doing that. So the contractors know, I know a lot of contractors, and contractors cut corners. Any contractor in here, they ain't gonna cut a corner and make a buck. So if you can find me an honest contractor, I'll find you an honest lawyer. Okay, so, somebody's job is to, look over that. You know, by looking at those houses, I could jump from roof to roof and shake my hand's neighbor. And I don't know about your guys' houses, but I don't think you'd buy one of them. Not if you know Black Diamond. You guys think about Black Diamond and the way of life at Black Diamond? That's not the way of life at Black Diamond. And somebody should reconsider that and fix it. That's terrible. So anyways, the lawyer's for everybody. This is my opinion. Okay, so let's see, the other one was the council. We don't have the population for two more people. If we're worried about paying money for other things that we're supposed to be paying for that we're not, why are we adding two more people if we don't have the population? I know this fight started a long time ago, but apparently they lost. And I don't think they fought hard enough, because you guys are supposed to be watching our back, not us watching your back. If we got to watch you, that means you're doing something wrong. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Gary? Go ahead, Carolyn.
These are some comments on the city attorney ordinance.
Could you state your name and city?
Oh, Carolyn Hart, Black Diamond. Is there any more specific address?
Okay. That's it.
Regarding the draft ordinance on legal services, the city attorney, to each council member, on what day did you receive this draft ordinance? Have you had a chance to thoroughly review it and the long-term implications? Is it recognized that the council is basically abdicating its authority for up to 10 years in this exceptionally important area? The city insurance pool reviewed this. That is not the same as saying it is a best practice or that it won't have unintended consequences. Prior to passage, would you consider having this ordinance reviewed by an attorney or expert who is not a possible recipient of the contract? This is a 5-year contract with up to a 5-year extension on the mayor's authority alone. That far exceeds any of your remaining council terms in office. This ordinance says the attorney is directed only by the mayor. By passing this, the council is not performing its responsibility as a council. The council responsibility is to make sure laws and contracts are made and can continue to be made for the benefit of the people. This ordinance abdicates that responsibility by taking significant power away from the council and future councils. Thank you.
Okay.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council. Gary Davis, Black Diamond. And I was also going to speak, get up here to the microphone, regarding the change in the city ordinance, city attorney's ordinance, but that's been pretty well covered. So I will speak to agenda item 19-38 and increasing the size of the city council. Just as a matter of principle, it's not a good idea to appoint council positions, particularly when you're talking about a brand new one. It would be better to wait until 2021 and have an election and get those people in that way, which would give a chance for the people to see the campaigning and to choose the best fit for Black Diamond. We simply do not need them right now. The population doesn't justify it. And it's going to create a power imbalance between the mayor and the council. There's a risk that the appointed persons would be pre-selected by the mayor to support the mayor and the developers. Black Diamond needs a council representing the well-being of the citizens. Wait and have the new council positions be elected. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. I ask your forgiveness of bringing this forward at this point. I actually had drafted a number of concerns about the city attorney ordinance, and then came to the conclusion that it would be reasonable to bring actually a proposed change, an amendment that the council could consider that would, you know, kind of take away the ideas and put something concrete before you. So the amendment that I'm suggesting is as follows to the city attorney ordinance on the agenda tonight. Whereas the mayor and council are separate and equal branches of government, and whereas legal services are a uniquely important service to both the council and the mayor. Therefore, section 2.14030 of the draft ordinance is removed and replaced with the following. A, the city attorney is under the direction and control of the mayor with regard to legal work that concerns performing the duties of the mayor. The city attorney is under the direction and control of the council when legal work concerns the performance of council duties or actions. B, the city attorney shall not be prevented from reviewing a policy, resolution, or ordinance at the request of a council member. The city attorney shall not be unreasonably prevented from discussing such items with individual council members. The mayor, in performing her duty to administer the city budget, shall not restrict available legal services funds to the effect of preventing the city attorney from such council legal review. The mayor may draft a budget amendment for legal services as needed for council consideration if there may not be sufficient funds. And C, the city attorney contract may be terminated by a vote of the council with sufficient notice, as will be fully defined in the contract. And in closing, I'd just like to say it appears from the agenda bill that there's a goal of reducing unnecessary conflict, making things run more smoothly. And I think that these will actually help that quite a bit, because when a council one day disagrees with some, you know, how much review their ordinance or ideas gets, and the mayor has sole control, the council's likely to create conflict over that issue despite this ordinance. It can happen, and I hope you'll take that into consideration. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? James?
James Stout, Black Diamond. I would like to acknowledge to the council and the mayor that I have read over these things, and I'm not a lawyer, I don't know the finite details, but in light of the mayhem that has transpired several years ago, I fully support what you're trying to do, these ordinances that are trying to be passed, and I appreciate your willingness to work hard on this and to counsel together and to make changes so we never walk into where the mire that we were in several years ago. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have no public hearings or unfinished business. The next item on the agenda is a resolution adopting the 2020 budget calendar. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As you know, this is my favorite time of year, budget time, and I'm excited tonight to bring you a resolution to adopt the plan and the official dates for our 2020 budget process. We get a packet from Municipal Research, several pages long, every year. We just received this, stating, you know, all the new revenue sources we should look at or changes to existing revenue sources, all the official dates. We need to have every piece of the budget in place by. Also, how many public hearings we need to have on the budget, when they need to be held, and what the final dates of all the adoption of all the budget processes are. So I think it's a really good document, and it was a good move, I think, in the past to go ahead and bring this resolution to you so we all knew what the dates were, because sometimes we knew but maybe all the council and everyone didn't know what the dates were, or sometimes they would change in the past. But I think adopting this calendar has really kept our feet to the fire that we meet these dates and gave you all dates so you can put in your books for when we need to take certain steps. If you go to the calendar on the last page of that section, you'll see that the city council column says the first official date we'll bring budget for hearings or adoption is in November, but we began work studies in September, and so we'll be all pitching right in to begin working on the budget, and we'll have three work studies in September and October, get through those, and then we have three public hearings on the budget. The first one, item 9 on November 7th, will be on the revenue and possible property tax increases. Then we have a preliminary public hearing on the council November 14th, and then the final, which is the date they prescribe, is December 2nd. That'll be on a Monday. That's how they set that up. So we'll have our final public hearing on a Monday, December 2nd, and that can be adopted after that. Sometimes we adopt it the following Thursday, or it could be adopted later, but it must be adopted by the 31st. So I'm excited to bring this and get it adopted tonight. I did want to mention that the resolution itself, when I looked at it tonight, had some Scrivener errors in it. The beginning, the dates in the beginning talks about the planning for 2020, but in the body of it, that date didn't get changed in every place. I spoke to Brenda about it, and those are Scrivener errors. We'll go ahead if you adopt this tonight, and those will be updated in the final version. Thank you.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 19-1308, adopting the 2020 budget planning process and calendar.
Second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution awarding the 2019 Lawson Street patching project. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. This was a project that we put out to bid on the small works roster. We are preparing to, and we have applied for funding for Lawson Street. The pavement condition is very poor, particularly on the far east side of that stretch right near the city limits. Once we complete patching, it raises the pavement rating score, which will help our chances of grant funding. The Transportation Improvement Board, they don't want to reward projects where the pavement condition is very low because of the lack of maintenance. So this is a stretch of road that we would like to get some funding for, and have applied for some grant funding for next year, and we'd like to get this patching done in advance. We got a good bid from Statewide. I want to point out that in their bid, they made a math error in the computation. So if you notice that the $20,425 doesn't add up to the dollar amount in the council action bill or the resolution. But that was due to, in their bid, that they made a math error on item 3. So I'm available if you would like to have any questions, but we recommend that we award the bid and get this done while the weather's good.
Councilmember Stout.
So even with the math error, it's still the low bid, right?
Yes.
So it doesn't really change anything, and it's lower than the city's expected or estimated cost for the project.
And it's lower than the budget. Our budget, we have $30,000. So potentially with a low bid, this we can maybe have them do some additional patching in other locations.
So we discussed that in our Public Works Committee meeting, and I just wanted to clarify, if they expand to do some additional patching, would it still be in that same area, like just keep going in that, or would it be another location in the city?
It would probably be fairly close, because if there's, it might be more expensive for them if they were going
pack up and go away.
In mobilization costs and moving to another location. So there's other areas in that general area that need patching as well.
Okay, good. Thanks for that clarification.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, and also this area of Lawson Street butts up against King County, and King County recently just went through and repaved their section. And so I think it behooves us at this point, because we need to make these improvements anyway, makes our section look even worse than maybe it really is. So unless there's any other comments, I move to adopt resolution number 19-1309, authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with Statewide Parking Lot Services, Inc. for 2019 Lawson Street patching project.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is an ordinance amending the Black Diamond Municipal Code, Chapter 1212 of the Cemetery Code. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. The Cemetery Board, they have, in not last year, but in the previous year, updated the cemetery bylaws, made recommendation to the mayor to adopt those as administrative policy. As we were looking at, our attorneys were looking at our ordinance, we noticed some things that needed some updating. In summary, this ordinance sets aside the property specifically at the location of the current cemetery, which was not identified previously. It although the mayor has the authority to direct how the maintenance and how the cemetery is administered, this specifically then states that the mayor has would be able to establish administrative and operational policies for the cemetery. There was two sections that had portions of the state law, but it didn't quite match up to what the state law was stating. And so those were repeals and let state law stand alone. It doesn't need to be repeated. There was also a sale of plots. The funds from the sale of plots were called out to be placed in a cemetery improvement fund. We sell very few plots because we don't have very many, so it's a small amount of money, but a large amount of additional administrative and tracking and accounting. The council has been generous with REIT funds and other avenues for improvements within the cemetery. And so the improvements in the cemetery in recent years has exceeded what we've sold in plots. So the finance director recommended that we strike that portion as well. And then it provides for severability and an effective date. So that's kind of the overall summary. The from time to time, you have called for two readings when we have ordinances. And so anyway, that, I'd leave that up to you.
I have a question for the lawyer.
Councilmember Davey?
So this did come through finance, and I think it also went to another committee as well.
Public Works,
okay. So it made sense, you know, clean it up, make it follow state law, save the city some funds, you know, from duplicating and following all the administrative and accounting costs. So I support this, and I suggested that it come out of our committee.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I have a question for our city attorney. Do we have to have two readings, or can we go ahead and adopt it tonight?
No, you can adopt tonight.
Okay, because we did review this in the Public Works Committee, and we did recommend that it come forward also, so I support it.
So I make a motion to approve Ordinance 19-1123, amending the Black Diamond Municipal Code, Chapter 12, .12.3.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is an ordinance adding a new chapter to municipal code concerning the position of the city attorney. And I had, after we had reviewed our hearing examiners section of code, we decided that it was very applicable to our city attorney and that we should probably use the same process since we already had it in our code. Every other city surrounding Black Diamond has a similar code or ordinance in their code. And so, but in order to make sure that we treated this fairly, because I did have our attorney draft it up, I had another attorney at another law firm review it and approve it before I brought it forward. It is something that we've talked about before because we had nothing in our municipal code that said anything about it. And the state's provision says all non-charter code cities provisions shall be made for obtaining legal counsel for the city either by appointment of a city attorney on a full-time or part-time basis or by any reasonable contractual arrangement for such professional services. So it does allow us to hire a city attorney, but I just wanted to make sure that it was a defined process like we have for the hearing examiner so that they would be very similar in nature. And we have talked about this since a couple of years ago, that we had some difficulties with council members understanding that what the state code says and what what we need to have in our own municipal code so that we can make it very definitive. Yes, Councilmember Edelman.
Okay, I want to respond to a couple of emails that we've received in the last few days and comments for tonight. I think I'll do the last thing first. In this proposed ordinance from Ms. Bryant, it talks about the city attorney shall not be prevented from reviewing anything, basically, from a council member. I have been on this city council for 7 years. We have had many attorneys. The only time that I've ever had a problem getting anything through one of the attorneys was when the previous council had hired their own personal attorneys. I have never had a problem with our current attorney. And in fact, 2 years ago, I had a draft, and it was different than this, but I sent that over to David. And with everything that's been going on in the last couple of years, now is the time to bring it forward. I also want to say, you know, we need to maybe have a municipal government 101 training, because we are a strong mayor form of government. We are not a council manager form of government like Maple Valley and Covington. We elect our mayor, and she has powers that are granted to her through the revised Code of Washington. She has responsibility for the city attorney. We don't have a code right now, which we need. RCW 35A12020 states that provision shall be made for obtaining legal counsel for the city, either by appointment, as Carol said, by appointment of a city attorney or a full-time or part-time basis for any reasonable arrangements. What this ordinance does is it clarifies that the city attorney is appointed by the mayor but is confirmed by the city council. And what we've done in the past, when it was excluding 17 and 16, when we have interviewed city attorneys, we brought them in to an open public meeting, we conducted the interviews in public, and then we went into executive session, came out, and then decided on who we should hire. That's how the process works. We're not doing anything different than any other municipality. And I've got the paperwork here. Maple Valley, Kent, Auburn, and Enumclaw all have very similar provisions in their municipal code. So it does not neuter the city council, as was stated in one of the emails. We are obligated to follow the revised Code of Washington. That is the law. And the balance of power between the mayor and the city council is called out in 35A.12.100. There's a discrete line on what Carol is allowed to do as mayor and what we can do as the city council. But we do talk to one another, and we do coordinate with the city attorney as required. So it is in our best interests that this be incorporated into our municipal code. Thank you.
Councilmember Stout.
Thank you. I would also direct you to this new ordinance 2.14.020. As previously stated, the first sentence in that section says, the city attorney shall be selected by the mayor with confirmation by the council. So that's not any different from any of the other things we do when we have a contract. We, the council, approve the contract, and that's what we're talking about here. With regard to Ms. Bryant's concerns about the finances, if council members need to spend time with the city attorney and for whatever reason there's an excessive amount of time spent and that would make us go outside the legal budget that we usually have, for every single item on the budget, there's kind of a little bit of leeway, and we always do a budget amendment at the end of the year to cover any of the things that we have, you know, were unforeseen. But there's wiggle room there in general, unless we go to some, you know, ridiculous, we budgeted $10,000 and we spend $200,000, which, you know, something like that, similar to that, has happened before. I have no concern about any mayor, even if we had a different mayor elected here, restricting me from talking to the city attorney. I've contacted the city attorney independently to ask for clarification on things, and there's no problem with that. I'm allowed to do that. So I don't worry about the mayor telling me that I can't have access to the city attorney if I have questions about how to fulfill my responsibilities as a council member or things that are going on in the city. I'm able to speak to that attorney, and I believe that this ordinance allows for that. So I think that's all that I had to say, but I'm not concerned that we're giving the mayor a huge imbalance of power. We're just helping the city have a very specific direction in what we really are already doing.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I just have a couple of, David, if you could follow with me. In 2.14-0110, the purpose, and then 2.14.020. So the rules of professional conduct, the city attorney shall owe his or her professional responsibilities and obligations to the city as a municipal entity rather than to any particular branch, department, or individual member of the city government. And then the next paragraph that says the city attorney shall be selected by the mayor with confirmation by the council and shall serve at the pleasure and under the primary direction of the mayor. So I think when you read those two, you kind of get a little confused. As a citizen, you look at both of those sentences and you think, okay, so the attorney is for all departments. Anybody can ask questions, can come forward, which in 8 years on the council, I've done. I have not had attorney or a mayor say, you know, I can't ask questions. So I think it's a little confusing on this section where it makes it look like the mayor has total control. Like, you know, we can't, at the pleasure of her office and under the primary direction of the mayor. So I just thought maybe you could clarify both of those.
So a couple of things. First, under 2.14.010, where you cited the language that says that the city attorney shall owe his or her professional responsibilities and obligations to the city as a municipal entity rather than to any particular branch, department, or individual member of the city government. That just means that's basically just translating what's in the Washington Code for lawyers, their ethical rules, that when you serve a corporate entity and a city is a corporation, your loyalties don't go to one officer or one constituent branch. You serve, your loyalties run to the entire city, which means I have obligations to all of you and the staff to do my best, be loyal, be prudent, be, exercise my responsibilities in the best interests of the city as a whole. So that's where that comes from. The 2.14.020, that language says that the attorney shall be selected by the mayor but confirmed by the council. And that language, the serving at the pleasure, that's kind of a term of art. It means that the mayor gets to decide when the attorney gets fired or not. If she's not happy with the city attorney gets fired. That's what that means.
Because I wasn't sure what the pleasure part.
It's a term of art. Yeah, I can see where that could be a little awkward. But that's kind of a standard terminology that means that she gets to decide when the city attorney goes.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And so just to follow up on that, it also says it's the primary direction. It's not the sole direction of the mayor. It's because she represents the staff, and the staff are primarily who use the attorney's services. It's her primary direction to decide where the legal resources get spent, whether it goes to a community development project or to a finance and accounting project. It's her primary role as a day-to-day manager of the city to make those decisions. But also, I want to point out, because this is, I think maybe perhaps people weren't reading this carefully enough, section 2.14.030 says that in no event may the city attorney contract purport to limit the city attorney to advising only certain persons or certain officials. That means my contract can't say, oh, I have to only take direction or only serve the mayor or only council member Deegan. Right. I have to serve, that contract says I have to provide service to the entire city, all duly appointed and elected officials and staff. So I think that's a really important distinction or important clarification to make. And finally, on the term of the contract, I heard some misunderstanding that this was a five-year contract, potentially 10 years without renewal, or with only renewal by the mayor. No, that's not the case at all. This provision says the city attorney contract shall be for an initial term of up to 5 years. So you can decide whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 3 years and 4 months and 3 days and 10 seconds. You get to decide it's up to 5 years, and the contract shall not be extended beyond 5 years without council confirmation. That means the city attorney can only be in the position for so long before the council has to revote to confirm the city attorney. So you've got lots of safeguards built into this. And as the mayor said,
and that's a total of 5 years. That's not a 5 plus 5.
Right. No,
it's not a total.
The contract can be up to 5 years. If it's only a 2 year contract, right, it can't be extended beyond that 2 years without the council confirmation. You know, that's the way it works. So, I think the mayor was right to point out that I thought it would be a good idea if another attorney who's not the city attorney reviewed this, because obviously I'm in a position that I'm drafting the language, and she did. She consulted with at least one outside attorney that I know of, and I can't reveal the results of that conversation, but the fact that this ordinance is in front of you, I think, tells you a little bit about what that attorney thought of it.
So I just had one more portion of my question. So
yeah.
On there is also, if you don't understand, that the mayor can fire the city attorney without council consent, and I'm okay with that. Because I talked to the mayor a little bit before the meeting. The council generally has, an email that we send, or sometimes we call the attorney. But we don't have everyday interaction with the attorney, and the mayor does. And the mayor staff have interaction pretty much every day with the city attorney. And so she knows the conduct of what's happening. And if I have an issue with, let's say, David, I would go straight to the mayor, and I would sit down and talk to her, and would assume that she would go and talk to the city attorney about the conduct. And if I wasn't happy with that, then I would have an executive session. I would ask for one, and then talk to the council and go over that. So the council does have some control here. It's just not where we can just jump out and say we're going to fire the city attorney. I mean, because I didn't like, David's answer to something that I disagreed with, I don't want to then say, okay, we're going to fire him because I didn't like that he didn't back me. So I'm okay with...
I always back you, Councilor. Right?
I'm okay with the way this is, and I will vote on this tonight.
Then I move to adopt ordinance number 19-1124, adding a new chapter to the municipal code concerning the position of the city attorney, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Is there any further discussion?
Just one comment. I have never had a problem utilizing the attorney, right? I don't ask the mayor's permission to talk to David. I don't think any of us do, right? That's not how it works. It's if we need David's services, or whoever's filling in for David, if he's out on vacation, right, we go to them directly, and they support all of us, not just the mayor. So
yeah, I work anytime you guys ask me to. If you were asking me to do something that was going to cost 200 hours of my work, I would run it by the mayor and say, is that in the budget? And she could say yes or no.
And something like that, the council as a whole should discuss that here, then that would be a direction that we would ask the mayor, the attorney, to go into with the full support of council, mayor, and everybody
But David's been great as a new member of the council. I've had lots of questions, right? So he's been really great to enlighten me on the appropriate and proper ways to do things, and how the interpretation of some of the statutes and stuff is not always exactly as a normal person would look at them and read the words. So I support moving forward with this.
So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is an ordinance regarding increasing the size of the city council. Councilmember Edelman.
Well, this is something we've talked about in the past. Again, we talked about it back on April 19th of 2018. I had brought forth an ordinance change to increase the size of our council. And after the discussion, I decided to withdraw it, that the timing was not right to start with. We basically had two new members, and Chris, I'm not sure, were you here then? So we had three brand new members that were already had seen that light in the tunnel that we hit them with at the beginning of that year, you know, just fixing things. So we've now got almost 2 years under their belt, and we are approaching the population top threshold, because I think we're at like about 4,500 people right now.
4,525.
So I have more words to read with your indulgence, because the RCW 35A-12010 states in part, if after a city has become a mayor council code city, which we are, its population increases to 2,500 or more inhabitants, the number of council offices in such city may increase from 5 to 7 members upon the affirmative vote of the majority of the existing council.
Janie, you said 2,500.
That's right.
Oh, you're not talking about
after 2,500.
You can, if you are 2,500 or more, you may increase.
Thank you.
Then it goes on to say, when the population of a mayor council code city having 5 council members increases to 5,000 or more inhabitants, the number of council offices in the city shall increase from 5 to 7. So there's been nothing in the last few years to keep us from going to a council of 7 members. With all of the building that's going on, with the new houses that are built and ready to be sold, the timing is right. There's no point in waiting to increase the size. And some of this is in response to Mr. Davis's email. There are no council elections in 2020. We have an election in 2019 that's coming up. So the next election will be 2021. We do not have the authority to create 2 new seats just for an election cycle. Whether the increase in the council occurs this year or next, the process is the same. By law, the vacant positions will be filled by the council. Again, the revised code of Washington tells us what to do. We have to follow what they say. So if we approve this tonight, we have 90 days to fill those positions. So the city clerk then will advertise the open positions on the website and in the newspaper. Any persons of interest will be able to submit their applications for review. The most qualified persons, well, and that's not even true. We're going to interview everyone who applies. And it's a city council action. It is not the mayor's action. The mayor doesn't have a say in this process. Then after after our discussion, the council will vote. So we're going to allow enough time for people to respond. All applicants will be reviewed without bias. Again, there is no power imbalance between the mayor and council, and the developers have no say in what is the outcome that's going to be. Now, I met with the mayor and our city clerk this morning, or this afternoon, I guess it was, and we came up with a preliminary schedule. And this is preliminary. You know, if there are events that happen that we need to change things, you know, so be it. We can do that. We're not going to cast this in concrete. So I'm going to assume that things proceed on tonight. Then Brenda will post to the website and notify the newspaper tomorrow. Then the applications will be due on the 3rd of September. That gives them a month. The interviews will be conducted at the work study on September 12th. Then at our regular scheduled meeting on September 19th, We will hold an executive session. My preference is to do it at the beginning of the meeting. So we will go into executive session. We will have a discussion about the candidates, the applicants. We don't make decisions and we do not vote in the executive session. So we will come out of executive session. Someone will make a motion, and it's for two positions. One position, they both will run through the next election cycle. So in 2021, in May, when people need to file for those positions, one seat will be a two-year term, one seat will be a four-year term. And what that does is it puts position 6 and 7 in the correct election cycle, because as you know, like this year, it's position 1, 3, and 5 that were up for re-election. So this will put them in that same position so they don't have to run out of sequence. So that's kind of my plan. This is not out of the ordinary. We're not trying to be sneaky or pull any punches. We welcome anybody who would like to apply for these positions.
Councilmember Deedy.
All right, so like Janie said, we had one work study, and I don't even know if we delved deep into this. So I was kind of bummed that we're not having another work study on this to go over this. I mean, things Janie just said, I had no idea. So you can't put it on the next ballot for people to pick that position. You have to appoint, and then they run to the next. So I didn't know that. So
it's really not much different than when I was appointed to the city council.
Right. I'm just saying that I didn't know those things. So there's, and we're at 4,500 residents now. That took us, so is that 300 residents in the last year? Is that right?
No, that's from 4,100 from 2010, I think it was. So the last 9 years.
9 years, because I know we've been talking
4,300
last year.
Yeah.
So 43. So we're
up a couple hundred
a year. So next year we could look at another 300. So now I have questions, David.
Okay.
So we have to appoint right at 5,000, or in here it says or more. So what does that mean, or more?
It just means that, 5,000 is the trigger where the duty to have 7,000 kicks in. So, if your population number on one day is 4,996, you can get by with 5 council members. But the next time you count, if it's 5,002, that's when you got to add those 2 council members.
The big family rules.
Right. So it's not. So I mean, we don't have to appoint before 5,000. We can appoint after 5,000, after we reach that, which could be in 2 years, a year. I mean, who knows?
Correct. The obligation to have 7 council members doesn't kick in until the population hits 5,000. Yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't mean, as Janie said, as Councilmember Edelman said, that doesn't mean that you can't do it before. It just means that at that point, you don't have a choice.
So I struggled with this before. I knew what Janie had just stated. You know, my thought is I would rather see the public vote for the people that go on the council. I didn't forget my 2 years of hell by no means. I just felt, that the citizens should have that right to vote on who is their council members. But with all this new information I got tonight, I can see now that that can't happen. But
they will have to be elected at some point.
Right, at some point, correct.
Or somebody will have to, whether it's
the appointees
or somebody
else. But I just want people to know that, my thought was at the very beginning of today was that it should go to a vote of the people, to an election. It seemed kind of funny that we're doing it now and we're in the midst of an election. So, I mean, if you're looking at it, it just seemed kind of weird, a little backwards to me. I would love to hear more from residents. I'd love to hear, have a, not maybe not a work study, but maybe like a hearing or a public input period where people could come forward and give their input and just say, yeah, we're ready. We think we should go now, or we think we should wait, or next year I think would be better, or whatever. I just would like some input from the citizens. It's just my thought, so I'll end it there.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
For those concerned about the budget impact of adding two council members, I think you could fit all the chicken feed we get in one cup. We are not highly compensated council members. Unlike some other cities around here, we don't make a living off of this. I don't even know if I could buy a lot of Jeep parts off. I couldn't buy a lot of Jeep parts.
Maybe paid it off. On your own.
Excuse me. You're out of order.
My point is that appointing two council members now will not adversely affect our budget.
Tell them how much we make.
It's
$160 a month.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't realize that we got paid at all when I got appointed.
Well, it is really a volunteer job.
And it's very little.
Yeah.
So the amount of hours we put in, if you tried to do the calculation, right, you wouldn't do this. You don't do this job for the money, right? So my point is that the appointment of two additional council members will not adversely affect the budget. I'm sure that May can probably find the $2,400 or $2,500 or whatever it is to cover it. So.
I will, off of that, we'll say it will be extra work for staff. I mean, you have more members, more people, just like when you two or three came on, you know, that was more, you know, staff time to prepare, to help, to educate, to do all that. So it is a little bit more financial burden, a little bit, not a huge lot.
They're going to have to do that whenever.
That happens anyway.
That happens whenever we have them.
But I'm just saying, you know, there is, you know, more paperwork, more. I mean, there is a little bit of financial. It's not just our 160 or my 200 for being mayor pro tem. It doesn't.
Miss big bucks.
Bucks, right? It's big dollars. My husband keeps telling me, "When are you going to get a job?" So I still go with, you know, I'd like some input from the citizens. This was just brought forward in the last 7 days. That's where I'm at.
Go ahead, Councilmember Staff.
It would be interesting to get into the background and figure out why the state asked us to appoint people to the council when the council is expanded from 5 to 7. I don't know why they did that or what kind of a background historically that has, but it actually kind of makes sense to me to have a person serve for a relatively short period of time before they have to run for election. Honestly, campaigning is really hard. It's very, very hard. And so I will also say that having been through the process of appointing a council member, we take it very seriously. Those interviews are entered into with a really serious sense of responsibility. Because bringing someone onto the council to fill an empty position is, it's actually fairly daunting. And when Councilmember Wisnowski's seat was open, we had several applicants. We watched them stand at the podium, quivering and shaking, because it's a big responsibility to stand up and say, I'm going to put myself forward to enter into service on the city council. And then when we went to our executive session and deliberated about who we thought would be the best person to fill that seat, honestly, it's really, really hard. It would be kind of nice to just say, okay, I opt out, let's flip a coin. But you can't do that because we're talking about the respect and honor that we have sitting on the city council and fulfilling our responsibility to the citizens of Black Diamond. Those of us who are elected have a huge responsibility, and then we're taking on our shoulders, just a few of us, to appoint someone. That is a big responsibility. So It's actually a little daunting to think about appointing two more people, but I would wholeheartedly welcome more citizens of Black Diamond to come and sit on this council and help us and support us and go to committee meetings and interact with the staff and get to know the citizens of the city and work hard to put forward the best interest of the city of Black Diamond. So the state has set out the process for whatever reason that I haven't yet figured out or understood. I just know that that is the process. And then here we are in this position where we're saying, okay, we're just about to approach 5,000. Let's share the load and have more people come and join us. And I hope that when we enter into this, that we have lots of applicants. I hope we don't just have one or two little stragglers. I hope that the people of Black Diamond really want to come and serve with us. So those are my thoughts. I feel like I don't take this lightly. I feel like it is a huge responsibility, but I'm ready to do that if we need to appoint soon.
Well, I agree with you, Aaron. You know, I've been on that side and been interviewed, and I had a stack of paper that I thought, wow, I could just get the answer, and it doesn't work that way. It's very nerve-wracking, and you just put your best foot forward is what you do. And we are a deliberative body, and we do not take our responsibilities lightly. And so we will deliberate this the same way that we have done things in the past. I do want to respond to Councilmember Deedy's comments. If it's advertised starting tomorrow, we don't even get applications until the 3rd of September. We have more meetings here where the public can come and talk. This is the venue for people to come and tell us what they think. They have two opportunities at every meeting. We won't even be conducting interviews until the 12th of September.
Right, but my...
Then we're not going to even do any kind of a vote until the 19th. So that's 6 weeks from now. I would hope that that's enough time. There's lots of ways of getting a hold of the city council. You don't have to come and stand at the podium, especially if you get really nervous. We're nice people, though. You know, we don't bite. You can email us. You can phone us. You know, there's lots of ways. You can get a hold of the city clerk or the mayor. So there's ways of getting a hold of us to let us know what people think. But just like tonight, we've had two emails about the two ordinances from the citizens. We've had a few comments tonight that were basically just a rehash of the same stuff. So my personal opinion, I think we have enough time.
Councilmember Deedy.
So my comment was that the council belongs to the people. The people, we are here for the people. We are appointed or we are elected by the people. So, yes, Janie's correct. If it gets voted in tonight, people can come and talk and say yay or nay or whatever. I mean, it's too late to say nay. I don't want to go this year. I think we should wait next year. I'm just saying that it would have been nice to see the people come forward and say, as this is my council, I want to see my council go from 5. I want to see it to go to 7. You know, this year, or I want to see it next year go to 7, or, you know, have some input. I haven't, other than what I got today, I haven't seen anything. And that doesn't mean that people aren't interested. It just means that they didn't get the notice. They didn't see, they didn't hear, they didn't see in the paper that, hey, the council's going to start looking at, they're going to vote next month on appointing two new council members, you know, and then that gives the citizens a chance to come in and say, hey, why are you doing that? I think, you know, we're only at 4,500. Why don't we wait another year and do it then? So that's all I was saying, you know. So with that said, if you guys vote this in, you know, I'll support it, and hopefully we'll have a lot of citizens, like you said, come forward, put their applications in, and want to be appointed. At our last appointment for Chris, I mean, in that meeting, nobody knew who was going to get picked. I came right out, And the only one that I thought for myself was good and was going to be great was Chris at that time. I thought Chris was the one. So I came out and made that initial, I make a motion to appoint Chris. I didn't know if anybody was going to second me. It's a very tough position to be in because you don't know if you got a second or not. So, you know, it could have went totally south and somebody else would have, you know, not seconded and somebody else could have made an appointment. So, so with that said, you know, I will support it tonight if that's where you guys are going. But I just had hoped that there would be a little more discussion, a little more involvement with the citizens, getting them prepared for something like this.
Mayor, may I add one procedural nuance that I don't think I heard Councilmember Edelman describe. So in a situation where you're adding two new council members, they can't be added with one vote. They have to be done sequentially so that number six gets appointed. And then number six gets to vote on who number seven is. Mm-hmm. So just so you guys know, if you're going to do two at once, you'll have to do them in order, not together. If that makes sense. Was that clear?
Yeah. I should have said something I didn't.
Necessarily be the same night. Obviously, it couldn't be the same night.
It could be, but it wouldn't have to be.
Because then you would just go back in with the new appointee and have interviews and then come back out.
If you wanted to divide the interviews into two evenings, you could do that. You could do them on the same night and just have a long meeting.
Right. Yeah.
There's different ways that you could do it, obviously, and I'm happy to discuss that with you, not in a public meeting. But just so you guys know, that nuance, the state law requires that first you appoint number six, and then number six gets to vote on who number seven is.
That makes sense.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Tammy, would you be more comfortable if we extended the timeline a little bit? I mean, I feel that there's enough chance for the citizens to comment on the proposed schedule that Danny put out. But would you feel more comfortable if there was if we put another 30 days to take?
I would be okay with just, you know, 30 days would be okay. It still gets it within this year. It doesn't push it out of this year. I would be okay with that, and then it would give the paper a chance to put it out. It would get a chance for social media to get it out, and then come and say, you know, yay, we got responses, or no, we didn't.
I personally don't think we'll get a lot of comment. We didn't get any comments in April when we brought it up, right? I don't remember anybody talking about it. I don't remember any emails from anybody back then saying yay or nay, right? So while I agree, I think that we should listen to the public on this. I think that they'll have three meetings before we vote, right? So that's six different opportunities for them to speak.
Yeah. Let me ask a question, too, of the clerk. When the applications come in, are those going to be put online? I know. But if we're going to interview everybody?
Who qualifies?
Yeah. But our qualification
they have to be a
registered voter. They have to live within the city limits. You know, once you get those qualifications,
meeting, they will be put online, right? But not as soon as I get them.
No.
Yeah, we post them.
Okay, because see, that's the other thing too, is that the public, at the point that we can get them on the website, then the public will have access to the same information that we have.
So if
and it'll be in advance of the interviews.
So if it came up for vote in September, and we have 90 days, which we were really pretty quick about voting and appointing way before 90 days was up. I mean, we had applicants.
We did for
coming.
Me, too.
So September, let's say applicants come in, and we're voting in end of October, 1st of November. We're still within the year. We're not outside of.
So give me your dates. What dates do you want?
I think just the first week of September, the first council meeting in September.
So you
bring this forward, your resolution.
Oh, you want me to postpone this vote tonight?
Yeah.
So the other thing that you need to think about, too, is we're going to be heavily into the budget process later in the year.
But your appointees will be heavy into the budget process anyways. So it doesn't matter whether we appoint in September at the first, or we pass this tonight, we're still going to be doing the meeting or the interviews, and Brenda's still going to be doing everything in the budget process.
But I think what the mayor is trying to say is that all of our work study sessions are already scheduled for the budgeting process, and we're going to be busy with the budgeting process.
And we want to, if you have somebody that you want to select, you want to give them the longest time possible to learn the budget process.
Because, you know, the budget process is extremely complicated. So
you're looking at appointing, am I right? You guys are looking at appointing in September?
September 19th meeting.
Instead of passing this in the first week of September, then having applications come out. So, I mean, it just...
But it pushes us into the budget cycle, and it's going to just stress out the rest of the staff.
So, Chris, what you were asking me was then what? If I was okay with passing this tonight and not waiting for citizens' input on if the council should go forward with having 7 members this year and going forward with 7. You're just asking me to wait for what?
So my wait was to, we could get the feedback from the citizens on what they're looking for in other council members, right?
Well,
we're going to go to 7 councils eventually, right? We have to.
Right.
And the way they're building out there, it's going to be sooner rather than later. Right.
But I already said that if the way you guys are going, I would support it tonight, but I would have rather seen that the citizens had a chance to understand what the council's doing and have that information be public with either the reporter or on the city website saying, hey, you know, the council's looking at going to 7 members this year.
I thought you meant that you wanted longer time for people to be able to respond.
No.
That's what I thought you meant.
I wanted people to be able to respond before we made a motion to do this. You know, and one thing that 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, we talked about very much on this council was never to vote in anything that was just presented that night or hadn't been thoroughly talked about. And this hasn't been thoroughly talked about. That April meeting or whenever that wasn't thoroughly discussed. I just feel that we should have had at least one work study to sit down and discuss all this and go over it, whether it had been a month ago, 2 months ago. We had work studies we canceled. So why wouldn't we have said, hey, we're looking at doing this. Let's have a work study in there and let's just talk about it and hash it out and then move it forward. We could have moved it forward before we went on summer break.
I think we talked about it pretty well in April. I think the reason we didn't move forward in April was because 3 of us were brand new and we didn't want to add 2 more brand new people, right, at the same time. So I think it is procedural and it is something that will happen anyway, most likely
right.
sooner
I'm,
rather
I'm not
than
denying
later.
That. Yeah. I'm just my thing is just we are the citizens. We are here for the citizens. And I haven't heard.
But this isn't like we're voting on a purchase of something, whether we can purchase it or not, right?
No.
This is simply a, do we do it now or do we do it 6 months from now, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
If we're going to have to do this, right? Probably sooner rather than later, the way they're putting houses up out there, right?
So what I'm just saying is that we're at 4,500 residents right now. It's going to take a year, 2 years, probably 2 years to get to the 5,000, maybe even to get to the 5,000. We don't know. So, and like the attorney said, it doesn't have to be right at 5,000. You could hit 5,200 and, you know.
No.
Well,
I mean,
you can. Once we hit 5,000,
right.
We have to start the process.
But I'm just saying, let's just say a drove of people bought houses this month and we're now at 5,200 because they all came in and bought. The council's going to have to get its act together, and they're going to have to pass this ordinance and do it, right? So that's what I'm just saying is that I would have liked to seen this be discussed at an earlier meeting, had a topic discussed, And the citizens all know this is the direction they're going. They're going to come to this meeting and they're going to do this. So that's all I'm saying, is that I didn't feel that the citizens got a fair enough warning that we were going to do this.
I disagree, but okay. We can agree to disagree.
Are you going to say something else?
Councilmember Stout.
Excuse me. I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. I wish there was a book I could check out of the library called Pros and Cons of Keeping a Five-Member Council versus Going to a Seven-Member Council. But I haven't looked for or found that book. I guess I don't know why not. I guess I just don't know why
not. I have no problem going to seven-member council. I have no problem at all.
So your concern, Councilmember Deedy, is that you feel like the residents have not had enough time to give input.
Correct.
But they've got time.
Not enough time to give input. And we're not going to 5,000 this year.
And the
it's
input,
not going to happen.
The input you're talking about is citizens weighing in on whether we should go to five or go to seven.
Right.
Or this stay year, at five.
Or go to six this year and go to seven next year or whatever. See, this is stuff I don't know. You didn't want a work study, so you got me asking the questions.
I didn't get a phone call either, Tammy. We could have had some discussions offline.
So I didn't get a work study with the full council to understand all this, or with the city attorney at the time. So I'm asking the questions. I may be wrong. I may be right. But I have the right to ask them, and I have a right to get an answer. And whether anybody agrees with me or not, that's okay. I've already stated my opinion. I've already stated I'll pass it tonight.
Then can we make a motion?
So Chris asked me a question, and I was trying to answer it, and he didn't understand.
I understand what you're saying, Tammy. I'm trying to understand what public input would change what public input you're looking for, because we've discussed this in the past. They've known it's been coming since April.
Of
right?
2018.
Yeah, last year, yes, right? So it's not a surprise. It's not like all of a sudden we're like, hey, guess what, we're going at 7. I mean, we've known about this for almost a year and a half, right, that when we get to close to 5,000 people, we have to go to a 7 council member. So what I'm trying to find out is what input are you looking for?
So this is the first time tonight that I heard that we're at 4,500. Even in this document right here, it says we're not even at 4,200. So this is the first time I've heard tonight that we're at 45. And I'm a council member, and I didn't even know we were at 4,500. So I don't know where I've been, but apparently safety committee meeting and finance doesn't discuss that. And I usually you get an update from the mayor that says...
I believe it came out in a document that went to all the council members on what our population was this year. From where does that come from, May, then?
The state sends that out, the census update, and I don't know if it was distributed.
So there was a census update, so,
okay, so
I thought everybody got it, but I couldn't tell you that for sure.
So I didn't know. So not until tonight did I know that we were at 4,500.
I understand. I'm just... No, and by the way, never feel bad for asking a question.
I don't.
We should all never feel bad for asking questions. That's what we have our staff for, David for, people who've been here longer than us for, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that, I ask a lot of questions, too, because there's a lot of stuff.
That's what we're supposed to do, get educated.
Right. So I'm just saying the council belongs to the people. And I know that it's ministerial or whatever you want to call it, where the city staff says, look, we're at 4,500. We need to immediately go to 7-member council this year. So, I didn't get any of that. Maybe I'm out of the loop on some of these meetings, but I didn't get any notice that says, hey, council members, we're at 4,500. We need to immediately start this process. So I'm just saying, to me, it didn't seem like it needs to be a rush. And that's all. So I'll leave it at that.
I would like to move to adopt Ordinance 19-1125, increasing the size of the council to 7 members, repealing inconsistent ordinances, affirming Ordinance 182B, calling for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. So, department reports, Chief Smith. Commissioner Farrell.
Yes.
Never.
Yes. I was getting through this. On August 6th, as you know, National Night Out is happening, and I would like to tell you that we will have a fire engine here visiting certain areas in the Black Diamond area on that night from 5 to 7. And if you want to go around and be on that engine, you're certainly welcome to accompany us. We are also going to areas around 95, the homeowner associations there, and we'll have a third engine out at 96 around the Muckleshoot Reservation. I would also like to confirm and let you know that our board is certainly looking forward to our study session on the 8th of August and are looking forward to being here with you. Yes, Tammy.
Event coming up in September, right? The breakfast?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's solid. Hey, but you got to give me another time to come up here and get the good stuff, do you? Come on.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
Good evening, Council Mayor, Greg Smith, Fire Chief. So you have my incident report there. There was five. This is, and that was. Let's see. Did I put the dates on there? Yeah. This is from June 6th till the 31st of July. So it's a long report period. So during that period, we had responded, or Engine 98 responded to five fires. One of those was an $8,000 loss kitchen fire, and one of those was a mutual aid fire in Maple Valley. The other three were nothing to it, no loss, no fire. 67 EMS calls, three hazardous conditions. Most of those were probably, I think we had a couple gas, natural gas leaks, a couple wires down. People with their shovels in their front yards digging up gas lines. Before I asked people to call that 1-800, that's what they did. Service call 8, and typically those are, most of the time those are elderly folks that, you know, have maybe fallen down in the home, can't get up, and, you know, you've seen the commercial, and they press the button, and we come and help them. So, or maybe they came home from the hospital, you know, needing some help getting out of the car into the house. So that's typically what service call is. Good intent, 6 of those, that's for somebody, sees somebody, smoke coming from somebody's backyard, and turns out they were barbecuing or something. So we have those ones wrong. And also one false call is typically a false alarm due to some type of alarm system going off. So we had a total of 90 incidents, 1.7 per day during that period. So one thing I like to highlight is how much time our, you know, your Station 98 is staffed totally by volunteers from 6 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning. So in June, the volunteers put in 1,368 hours, and in July, they put in 1,322 hours. And the average staffing is 3.8 per shift. So that is really, I mean, you almost have a four-man engine company at night. So that's really good for the city. That's a good response. Second there, you can see the picture of our gator, and I think everybody's seen the gator in the parade. That's really, we bought that for off-road rescue, you know, all the bicycle trails and walking trails, and we've been up to Franklin a few times with it. So we really bought that to for off-road rescue on these trails. And so with the wildland problem being, you know, especially this year, it was supposed to have been really bad, and everybody says, well, it was supposed to have been bad. It's coming, because all the rain we had in July kept the thing from burning, but it made everything grow, especially the one-hour fuel. So we have all these grasses that just grew really a lot during July. those will now be all be drying out. So typically our wetland season is August and September. So that's where we're at. So anyway, this unit here actually will be able to, it carries 50 gallons of water. Doesn't sound like a lot of water. For wildland firefighting, 50 gallons of water goes a long ways. And it also has the capability to produce Class A foam, which is used for ordinary combustibles. So it makes that 50 gallons of water, it might as well be 300 gallons of water because of that Class A foam. And we can still transfer, and you can't see in this picture, but on the other side of that unit, there's still an area there where we put a backboard where we can transport people off-road. So we didn't take that capability away from them. Didn't get a chance to talk to you after the 4th of July. So this is the first time I've had a chance to report that. So there was only three incidents. And actually, it was a fairly good 4th of July for us, I think because it was a weekday and the weather wasn't real nice. I think that had something to do with it. So you had a small brush fire here in town and a couple of aid calls over at the lake. We had a couple of neighbors over there. Somebody got a broken nose. So, but a lot of partying going on during that time of the year. I don't think it was married and breaking anybody's nose.
According to the picture, it's on the west side of the lake. She lives on the east side.
Okay,
of the lake.
All right. Well, you never know where the mayor goes.
I do because I stare into her kitchen window.
Okay. So
you might want to elaborate on that. You live next door to her. You're not just like outside, like.
Oh, sometimes.
Sorry, 4th of July was pretty good. Actually, it was pretty good throughout. I can't say it was pretty good throughout the county. We actually had a few homes burned down. Over here on the west side from fireworks. In fact, killed a person. So, that's 4th of July for it. So, anyway, other than that, Commissioner Farrell said, we will participate in National Night, and we are looking at doing another pancake feed in September, and I'm not sure what we're raising money for yet. So.
Just let us know. We'll be there.
Okay. Usually, it's been the Children's Hospital and the Seattle Cancer Care, I think, was for the, so I'm not sure what we're doing next time, but we'll let you know for that. Okay?
We'll be there. We like to see the commissioners cook.
Yeah.
Do fire departments still do Fire Prevention Week in like September, October,
October
sometime?
Yes.
October.
Yeah, okay. So it goes through that usually. They celebrate during the, I guess it's not celebration, but it's kind of based on the Chicago Fire.
That's why
it's in October. Okay. Okay. Which actually wasn't the largest fire. There was actually a larger fire when the Chicago Fire was. There was actually a larger fire that killed more people than that up in Michigan. Most people don't know that at the same time. So. But that was a long time ago.
So you guys
before I was chief, so that's what we
were. Will you guys be doing something at the elementary school?
I'm sorry?
You guys have plans to do something at the elementary school?
We actually do fire prevention in the schools all year long.
Oh, okay.
Because we just did the Muckleshoot Elementary School. And so because to do it all in 1 month is really, it doesn't work. We used to in the old days, but it doesn't work good for the teachers because all of a sudden now we have to be all, so what we do now is kind of coordinate that with the teachers. And sometimes what we do is actually bring a lesson plan and the teachers do it. And then, but a lot of times, the firemen will go down and eat lunch with the kids, do stuff like that, so.
Yeah, I used to do the fire prevention.
Yeah, work. So it's, I think fire prevention, we like to make that a year-long thing, not just once a year. So.
Do around here, do they do hand out batteries? The remember, change your smoke detector battery during fire prevention?
Yeah, we have done smoke detectors in the past.
Uh-huh.
But typically, those are because we've gotten some type of grant or something. So.
We used to hand out 12 or 9-volt batteries.
Yeah.
When we did fire prevention week.
Yeah, we will be at the breakfast doing helmets for bicycle helmets for kids.
Oh, great.
So we got a grant to do that. So we'll be doing that there at the breakfast. Yes.
So has the fire department replaced anybody to take Tim's personal spot yet?
No.
So that was a big position Tim was doing, and he was wonderful at it. So it's sad to see that, he's gone, but what he's doing, he loves. So it'd be nice.
Well, I talked to him. He's doing a lot more traveling than he thought he was going to be doing. So.
Yeah. definitely. And he's with ACP...
ASPCA.
Yeah. Animal Care. Yeah. So a big part of the fire department right now is the lack of the PR and what Tim was had taken over. I mean, that was a big chunk Tim was doing. I mean, he was everywhere.
Right now we're working on trying to find some instructors for the CERT program.
Yeah, we need that.
We're attempting to redefine that position as a board, and we're not as efficient as you guys are.
Thank you.
Actually, the whole zone is looking at public information officers and maybe doing something in the zone together. So.
And right now, you're the fire inspector. Is that correct? So for the city and for the city. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Fire marshal.
That's right.
And inspector.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Chief.
So it's time for my report, and even though we didn't have any council meetings, we had a lot of committee meetings. We had Finance Committee, Public Works, Public Safety, Planning Committee. I met with the fire department about changing the modification to the fire station. On the 15th, I met with Maple Valley and Covington about our Tri-Cities meeting and what we were going to do next year. We also had a cemetery board meeting that day. On the 16th, I had a South Bend mayor's meeting in Enumclaw. On the 17th, there was the Chamber Whacking Wild Golf, which we won the cart decoration trophy again, which is really ugly. So it's parked in a corner in community development. And then on the 25th, I participated in the alien invasion at the library. They have somebody that comes in a couple times a month and does little shows, and they asked me to be the sister of the alien. So if you go to their website, you will see me hugging my long-lost brother. And then on the 31st, which was yesterday, was ASCA networking dinner, and they had Greater Seattle partners that are trying to promote economic development in the region. And so they're actually have agreed to come out to Black Diamond. He's a bike rider, so he's been out here. He's planning on going to Crystal Mountain with his kids. So I think that it might, you know, we've been talking to staff trying to figure out who we need to talk to and what could they do to help us get some businesses, because they're talking to businesses and they have people that want to relocate. What could we bring to Black Diamond that would give us some more retail or industry in the city? So anyway, I'll be working on that in the future. And then today we had a ribbon cutting with Jessica at Farmers Insurance in Black Diamond, and she just joined the chamber. So it was nice to see some people there and some of Gracine's cupcakes. They were delicious. So Councilmember Deedy.
So I attended the AWC conference in Spokane. I have some stuff written up, but I'll talk about it at the next meeting. So it's kind of long. attended Miner's Day. The community yard sale is coming up. I don't know if you've seen signs everywhere. I'm working hard on that. So that will be the Friday, the 8th, 9th, and 10th at the gym for the community, the community-wide yard sales for everybody, but the community center will have a space there. They have the entire gym to raise funds for the community center. So come check that out. I did attend the Lake Sawyer fireworks with at Councilmember Edelman and Mayor Benson's house. Also, I'm working on getting out, if you've seen around town, Citizens Awards for Labor Day. So if you know a citizen or anybody within the city that you feel should be recognized, please grab a form and fill that out and get that to me by Monday.
I attended the Wacky Golf Challenge with the mayor. We did win the trophy. We decorated for Christmas, so it was Christmas in July. It was kind of fun. And I did attend the procession or receiving of Firefighter Fane's body, I guess, which was at in Auburn. He accidentally drowned, so I did attend that and give my best to the firefighters and family. So I'm sorry that that happened. I did miss one finance meeting. Janie covered that for me, but other than that, I attended finance and safety meetings.
Councilmember Edelman.
I took the month of July off. I went to the meetings that I needed to go to. I wasn't going to go through all of that stuff tonight because since I'm on such a roll, I'm going to continue. While going through these ordinance changes, we started looking at the council rules, and I kind of got on my high horse, and I never do that. During our economic development or the community development meeting, because it's like, well, if the rules are going to change, I've already changed them three times, I'm not doing it again. Well, maybe. What I passed out to the council tonight is a couple of pages out of our council rules. Specifically, it's section 7.2.19 and 7.3, and it's basically talking about how to amend the rules. And 7219 says that they can be amended by a majority vote. And then what we voted in back in April was the council may by motion that carries with an affirmative vote of two-thirds or greater majority of the council waive, suspend, or modify these rules. So we need to delete probably 7219. I'm only putting that out there tonight. This is just to get everybody knows. There's lots of time to think about it. Then
Councilmember Edelman, can I interrupt you just for a minute on that that one rule. So I think these are intended to cover two different circumstances, but I agree with you the way it's written is perhaps unclear. I think 7.2.19 is talking about permanent amendments to the rules, if you're going to change what the rules say, whereas 7.3, waiver, that would be if you're going to modify the rules for one meeting, one night, one vote. You suspend the rules, or you modify the rules for that one thing. But that's not clear from these rules that that's what the intent is. Yeah.
So it does need to be reworked.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a good time to just send the council out to go do your due diligence. And then, you know, next meeting or whenever, then we can maybe request that the city attorney do some changes. It's not a big change, but it's something that needs to be done. Then the other papers that I gave you, it's section 18 that talks about the council standing committees. And the way it's working right now is they're out of date. We have a finance committee, we have the planning community services committee, we have public safety, we have public works. Parks and cemetery, from a staffing perspective, has been broken up. So Barb Kincaid has parks, Seth Botcher has cemetery. So there is no parks and cemetery committee per se. It's all being handled within those other committees. So we need, as the council, to figure out how to delete that, probably, and then revise the other committees to reflect the work that they're actually doing. And so I'd like you guys to do that. And the mayor had mentioned to me that she would like to maybe put an ad hoc committee in there, but that kind of is not, I mean, an ad hoc committee is not a standing committee. That's supposed to be just a short-term thing. So anyway, it's up to whatever you guys want. I'm just throwing it out there. Accept it, reject it, but I'd like for you guys to at least look at it. So.
Councilmember Stout?
During the past several weeks, while we have not been having council meetings, I've attended two Finance Committee meetings, and those have been fairly standard where we've gone over the vouchers and expenditures for that time period. But Ms. Miller also came out with the 2018 annual report, which goes to the State Auditor's Office, and this is a big project that is very important, and it's posted on the website if anybody wants to look at that. It has several really interesting sections, and it's actually a little bit cumbersome, but it has, wow, all kinds of charts and graphs, and you can learn a lot by going through this document, so you can find that online. And thank you, May Miller, and your staff for working on that. I attended a Public Works meeting where we discussed several of the items that were on the agenda tonight, but also I'm really excited that coming up pretty soon, we're going to be getting some new streetlights in a dark area of the older part of town, so that's going to be, we'll see that on an agenda in the future. I attended, or I didn't really attend, but I met with Andy Williamson to discuss the next phase of development and building that's going to be going on up in Ten Trails, and that was enlightening. I attended the Sound Cities Association networking dinner last night, where I want to say his name is Brian McGowan. I didn't write his name down.
I didn't.
He was an engaging speaker, a dynamic individual who has a lot of really interesting experience and background. His most recent job was in Atlanta, and he sounds like a really competitive person because he wants to help the greater Seattle area surpass the Atlanta statistics. He's like, we're gonna move ahead of them. He did say that he would come out to Black Diamond and meet with the staff that is pertinent, and just talk about what their organization can do to help us. We asked him privately, it wasn't part of his presentation, but we asked him where his funding comes from, because it's a big organization. And he said it's all the major governmental entities, counties, and some of the cities, and then the bigger business organizations, for example, Boeing, Microsoft, Amazon. And so it's a public and private partnership. That's why it's called Greater Seattle Partners. And their vision statement, he said they worked really hard to make their vision statement be appropriate, and he insisted on having the word person in their very short vision statement, because he said, we're not talking about, you know, growth of the whole greater Puget Sound area. We're talking about making this a great place to live for each individual who lives here. And I just liked his presentation, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he has to offer for what can go on here in Black Diamond, and what that kind of an organization can do as they set forth their vision to make all of our communities great places to live. And I attended the ribbon cutting today. The young woman is an insurance agent. She's taking over an agency that they've actually combined two or three agencies where other people have retired. Her name is Jessica Daniken, and her office is near the Children's Therapy and the Lake Sawyer Community Club. And it's just good to see a young person getting into a business where they feel like they can flourish and work hard. And it was kind of cute. Her mom came from California to be of a support to her as she's opening her business here. So, and her little boy, who looked like he was maybe seven.
He was seven. Going to be eight next week.
Oh. Well, we'll just call him eight then. Yeah. He had the big giant scissors and cut the ribbon, and he was pretty proud of himself. So it was just nice to see a young person being able to move their lives forward, and the Chamber of Commerce was offering a lot of support there to her.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
I, too, met with Mr. Andy and talked about the next phases of the development and kind of the phasing and how things are going and pace and size and that kind of stuff. attended miners' days. I sat at the city table for a little while and answered people's questions. Kevin Espy had brought up some very timely disaster, earthquake kind of stuff after we've had all the earthquakes around here on the West Coast. We did have a planning committee meeting, and this is where I'm asking for public input. As we move forward with our code enforcement positions and kind of really looking at what is our focus, what are our priorities and stuff like that. We've been looking at health and safety as the main priority, and then because we only have limited resources and limited budget and that kind of stuff. But I want to hear from the citizens. So everybody here in the room and everybody out in the world that's going to read these transcripts or listen to the audio, email me or call me and let me know what you want your priorities to be, because we're really interested in what the priorities for code enforcement should be. Given that we only have one position, one FTE position, and a limited budget, right? We can't do everything at once, so we can't do all the nuisance stuff and all the health and safety and all the look and feel kind of stuff. So I'd really like some input on what the citizens of the city want to see as the focus there, the initial focus there, right? I would assume that as time goes on and the city grows, we'll get more budgets, we'll have more staff, that kind of stuff. We'll be able to expand our focus and have more than a priority at a time. But since we only have one FTE, I would like to hear what people would like the focus to be. And I'm not saying call me and tell me your neighbor has an ugly trailer or their house is the wrong color, but as a general, in general, what do you want to see the city focus on for code enforcement? I also attended the 10 Trails Hometown Social Jump thing, right? I got two little kids. They love those jump things, so they had a blast. It was good to see a lot of folks there, and it was a nice night. So, and they had good music, so, and good food. And I think that's it.
I have, Chris. Uh-huh. So a while ago, somebody talked about a survey going out. Is that in the planning department? Or?
Well, we are going to do the planning, the survey.
So there'll be a survey. Will that be on that survey? Like what?
Planning.
Yeah, I think that was the plan. One of the plans was to put
something in that survey, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that sometime this year or first of next year?
Probably next year.
Probably early next year, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I still want to hear from folks about what they want the focus to be, right? Because what I may think the focus is, or what Melissa may think the focus is, or Barb, where'd you go? Barb may think the focus is, right? May not be what the priorities of everybody else is, right? So maybe there's something that we're missing and that the citizens of the city would like us to focus on. So we want the input there, right? So you can always come to our meetings and give your input during the open comments section too. I welcome the input.
Do we have an attorney's report?
Not tonight, Mayor.
Okay, so now it's time for our next public comment session. If you wish to address council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Kristen?
Kristen Bryant from Bellevue, grew up in Black Diamond. I see Member Stout's laughing at me, and I'm wondering why.
I wasn't laughing. I was smiling at you. I try to be pleasant.
The attorney contract I spoke on at the beginning, there was discussion about the term of the contract lasting 5 years. Up to 5 years for the initial term. And the contract shall not, and then the language as written, the contract shall not be extended beyond a total of 5 years without council confirmation. There are clearly two ways to read that sentence. Starting with extended beyond a total of 5 years without council confirmation. The scenario being, if you have a five-year contract, say you pass that next month, and at the end of 5 years, whoever's mayor at the time extends it for a year. And another year the next year, and another year the next year. And then they get to five and they say, now I've extended it for a total of 5 years, 5 one-year extensions. The concern is that the language of total is looks like it implies to extension. And if it, the word total is not meant to apply to extensions, there's a way to fix that. And it's to remove the words beyond a total of 5 years. And simply have it read, the contract shall not be extended without council confirmation. Meets the same goals, would be a show of good faith to be sure that 5 years from now, there's not somebody who chooses to interpret this sentence in a way that it could be interpreted that you didn't intend. The other thing that's important to note tonight is the RCW, Ms. Edelman read it out about expanding a council, clearly has read it, stopped short of saying that the total is based on the counts on the census data. So when are you going to pass 5,000? When is the census going to tell you past 5,000 is part of the question? And I thought that that wasn't really clearly addressed. Because you're not in trouble if 500 people move to town tomorrow. You're in trouble when the census data comes back and says we did an official count and it's over. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have no executive session. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.